The impression I get of Anthony Joshua these days is of a man who doesn't have any great intuition, who doesn't really trust his own instincts, or maybe he doesn't have very strong instincts, because the elite fighters, the best, the greats, intuit a lot of things. Like, for example, Muhammad Ali, when he fought George Foreman, he just knew that dancing and fighting his usual fight wouldn't get the job done in Zaire. And what he did by playing rope-a-dope was counterintuitive to a lot of people, including his own corner. But Ali told him to shut up and he said, I know what I'm doing. And indeed, he did know what he was doing. Tyson Fury, when he got dropped by Steve Cunningham heavy in the second round, he got off the canvas, and once he shook the cobwebs off, he knew what he needed to do. Whereas with Anthony Joshua, he seems like one of those fighters. Amir Khan is a bit like this. He seems like one of those fighters where he needs to be programmed by a trainer to fight a specific strategy and in a specific way. And if the fight ends up going very differently to what they'd planned for in training camp, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't seem to have the ability to adapt on the fly and work things out for himself. He's constantly relying on the trainer to tell him what to do. And for a guy with the experience that Anthony Joshua has now, again, 40-odd amateur fights, ABA champion, silver medal in the world championships, gold medal in the Olympics, multiple world title fights as a pro, two-time world heavyweight champion. I mean, why doesn't he trust his own experience? You know, why hasn't all that experience resulted in intuition, instincts? Because all intuition is, of course, is the subconscious mind processing all the data that you've collated over a certain period of time. And then you consciously experience the calculations made by the subconscious mind as a feeling. Okay, I feel like I need to do this. I feel like I need to do that. Okay, I know that I need to change the strategy up in this way because of what's happened in the fight so far. You see it? Anthony Joshua just doesn't seem to have those strong boxing instincts at all. He comes across like a guy who's trying to learn boxing from a textbook. It's bizarre. Again, with an inexperienced novice, you can understand that to some degree, although some novices are very intuitive right away. I mean, right off the street, there are certain novices who get in there and the way they're moving around, that they instantly have good instincts. Their technique is all over the place, but they have a good idea of what they need to do and when. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Anthony Joshua just doesn't seem to have a strong idea about what to do and when and why. It's like in the first Andy Ruiz fight, when he said to Rob McCracken, you know, what do I do now? Why do I feel like this? You don't hear Tyson Fury having them kind of conversations and asking those kind of questions when he's in the corner after he's been dropped. He knows what to do, you know? His corner's there to offer him more advice, but ultimately Tyson Fury is very self-assured. Muhammad Ali, very self-assured. Floyd Mayweather, very self-assured. In any situation, he's very self-assured. You never see them looking lost in the ring. Whereas AJ has looked lost in the ring several times, and he looks lost in interviews. You know, all this talk about self-help books and motivational speakers and listening to the right music. I mean, maybe that's his process. And different fighters have a different process in terms of getting ready for a fight. Just because AJ's process might be a bit different to the norm, then, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong or it's bad. But I have to be honest, he doesn't inspire confidence with the way he comes across. That's what I can tell you. Because, you know, I'm comparing him to other fighters out there. Even somebody like Dillon White, you know, Derek Chisora, these kind of guys. Not necessarily the elite, but guys who have been able to bounce back and show mental fortitude coming back from defeat. I mean, Dillon White, from a mental perspective, was absolutely fantastic the way he came back against Povetkin. Say what you want about Povetkin being old and, you know, he looked shaky in the first fight, but Dillon White still had to overcome the trauma of being knocked out the way that he was in such a humiliating fashion first time around. And he had absolutely no problems doing that whatsoever. There was no perceptible demons or anything like that in the Povetkin fight. So, you know, that type of mindset, that type of mentality is what Anthony Joshua needs. You know, when Dillian Whyte came back from the Povetkin loss, he was 100% self-assured in terms of knowing what he needed to do. The way he was speaking was just confident. He wasn't saying, I need self-help books and I need to read this and I need to listen to this and I'm going to trial out with 100 different trainers. There was none of that. He knew exactly what he needed to do. With Anthony Joshua, again, yeah, trial out with different trainers. I've been saying for the longest time he needs to get rid of Rob McCracken. No disrespect to Rob, but I don't think he's the guy to take Anthony Joshua to the next level. I think Anthony Joshua needs to learn new techniques, okay? But learning new techniques is not the same as having good boxing instincts. You see it? I'm sure when Floyd Mayweather first stepped into a boxing ring, he had good boxing instincts to begin with, good fighting instincts. Just intuitively, just innately, he had good instincts. And obviously you hone those instincts and those instincts improve, the intuition improves, the more experience you get. But again, with AJ, it's just like, he has the mindset of a novice. It's bizarre. This guy is bordering on veteran at this point in terms of the number of championship fights he's had and the experience. He's borderline veteran now, but still talks like he's wet behind the ears student, you know? Very, very strange. So I don't know what the solution is for Anthony Joshua. I don't think it's good for him to still be trialing different trainers this late in the day, because aren't they talking about the Usyk fight in April or something? April, May? I mean, he needs to be settled with one trainer at this point, not still trialing out all these different... No, I mean, ideally, as I've said all along, I think Anthony Joshua should not take the rematch because that would give him time. You see it? That would give him time to figure out what he's doing, what trainer he's going to go with. But at this point, it's like a race against the clock. Where he's trying to do all the self-help books and trialing out different trainers and traveling all over the world. And the clock is ticking for that Usyk. Because Usyk is not confused right now. Usyk isn't wondering how he's going to get himself in the right mind frame for the rematch. Usyk's routine is tried and tested. He knows exactly what to do. It's AJ who is all over the place, seemingly, right now. So look, I'm not writing him off. Maybe he'll be able to get himself together in time for the fight and pull off what, I don't want to call it an upset, but let's just say reverse the result of the first fight, when a lot of people are expecting Usyk to repeat what happened in the first fight and maybe even go one better and stop AJ this time. So, you know, I'm not counting AJ out. Perhaps he can turn up and do the business. But again, not inspiring confidence by the way he's talking in this interview. Maybe his method, maybe his process is just different from the norm, and that doesn't necessarily make it bad. But again, I'm just comparing him to many other fighters out there who have come back from defeats successfully. A lot of the greats, the Muhammad Ali's and so on. I know that not everybody's cocky, right? Not everybody's a slick talker and what have you. AJ's certainly not a slick talker. But even if you don't have the flair to be able to express yourself like a Muhammad Ali, the things you say, the body language, the things that you tell us you're doing, we can still read a certain amount into these things, you know? And I hope my read of Anthony Joshua's preparation and what Anthony Joshua said in this interview is wrong. Because my read of it is, this is a confused guy who isn't confident enough in the experience he's gained himself to be able to stand on his own two feet. He's still looking for a master to tell him what to do. No, the trainer is supposed to get you to, you know, change up your technique in a certain way, right? But you're still inside supposed to be confident because of the experience you have, that you know what to do, that you know what strategy to employ. It's just about, again, polishing up your technique, changing certain technical things in order to be able to do that most effectively. You know, the strategy that you already know you need to employ. Now, AJ's talked about, oh, I need to go and attack and this, that, and the other. But whenever he talks about it, he sounds like he's repeating things he's heard from someone else. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't seem to be coming from the heart. It doesn't seem to be coming from instinct. Again, it's just like Amir Khan. He has to be programmed with a particular strategy, with a particular approach, And when the fight doesn't go according to plan, he doesn't know what to do. And if the trainer don't have the answers, AJ's lost. He can't figure it out for himself. At the elite level, you better learn how to figure it out for yourself. Yeah, your trainer won't always have the answers. When Tyson Fury again fought Steve Cunningham, Clifton Mitchell was in his corner. No disrespect to Clifton Mitchell, right? But that wasn't Tyson Fury's regular trainer. It was Peter Fury. Clifton Mitchell was one of the seconds. But Tyson Fury figured it out for himself. So anyway, let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Are you as concerned as I am with regards to the stuff AJ's saying in his interviews? Do you get the same impression that I get? That this is a guy who's just not very self-assured and not very confident in what he's doing? And he's just looking for external answers when most of the answers are actually internal? Let me know what you think in the comments. So Joseph Parker becomes the latest heavyweight to turn down an opportunity to face Filip Hrgović for the IBF mandatory position. His manager David Higgins said the following: "There is an economic problem with Hrgović. When we built up Parker, we built a fan base in New Zealand. We funded, paying big money, to stage Parker versus Andy Ruiz in New Zealand. Does Hrgović have a home fan base anywhere? He has attained a high ranking, but has no fan base, so the money on offer is laughable for somebody like Parker. Also, this fight is at the back of the Eliminator queue because the other belts must be sorted out. So Parker could fight Hrgović for a payday that would barely cover his training costs, win, then sit out for a year waiting for his shot." All right, those are the words of David Higgins. Now, what do you guys make of this? Is Higgins just saying what a lot of people in the boxing community, like myself and others, are saying, and therefore he's just using that as a convenient excuse? Or is it actually the truth? Because Hrgović's people, Sauerland, have said that these guys are not turning the fight down with Hrgović because of money issues, because they haven't even bothered to, you know, hear an offer. They haven't even bothered to sit down at the negotiating table to even get to the stage where they're talking money. But what I would say to Team Hrgović is you need to make people big offers. So I get with Luis Ortiz, they never managed to sit down at the negotiating table, but put some offers out there. Stump up some serious cash. Approach Joseph Parker and say, "Here you go. We're willing to pay you this amount of money for the Hrgović fight." And Eddie Hearn needs to get involved in this as well. I know Eddie Hearn co-promotes Hrgović. And when you've got a heavyweight of the quality that Hrgović apparently is, or potentially is, you really need to be investing in his career. Just the same way that Eddie Hearn invested in Anthony Joshua's career. Just the same way that David Higgins talked about investing in Joseph Parker's career here. That's what Eddie Hearn, Sauerland, etc. need to do for Filip Hrgović. Now, as far as building a fan base and whatever the case may be, yeah, obviously, boxing is a business. And if they want to try and recoup the money that they are going to need to invest to get a good opponent in with Hrgović, then perhaps they could do it in Croatia or, you know, wherever, some place that has a big Croatian population, perhaps. Apparently, the Chinese heavyweight, who's also signed to Eddie Hearn, I believe he's certainly on the zone, Zili Zhang, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his name. Apparently, he says that he's not scared of Hrgović and he's willing to get in with him. He's got an extensive amateur background. You wouldn't think Hrgović would have too many issues with him, but you never know. Perhaps he'll surprise us. Perhaps the times I've seen him, he's been underperforming. Maybe he needs somebody like Hrgović to bring the best out of himself. We'll see. But at the moment, that's what it's looking like. Filip Hrgović versus this Zili Zhang character. So, is that a fight you guys will be happy with for an IBF eliminator? And, you know, what David Higgins said regarding Joseph Parker, if he was to go in there, fight Hrgović and win, he'd be waiting a year for his shot. Well, I haven't looked at the current situation regarding the WBO, the WBA, because that's what, obviously, Alexander Usyk has, WBO, WBA, as well as the IBF. The IBF generally expedite their mandatories a lot quicker than the other sanctioning bodies. That's the general way it goes with the IBF. So I'm not sure whether what David Higgins is saying is actually valid. I'm on the IBF website here, and as you can see, these are their rules regarding mandatory defenses of their heavyweight title. It says, Because of the circumstances inherent in and peculiar to the promotion of major heavyweight championship contests, the heavyweight champion shall defend his championship within 1 year after acquisition by him in a sanctioned contest scheduled for 12 rounds against the leading available contender designated by the championship's chairman. After compliance with his mandatory defense obligation throughout the remaining term of a heavyweight champion's reign, he shall be obligated to mandatorily defend his championship within intervals of no more than 9 months against the leading available contender in the heavyweight division as designated by the championship's chairman. In the interim periods, the heavyweight champion may enter into any contest with any heavyweight contender rated in the top 15 boxers in his weight class as set forth in the ratings of the IBF and subject to the approval of the championship's chairman and the president. All optional defenses and any and all other bouts by a champion shall be concluded at least 60 days prior to the date the champion's mandatory is due and shall be subject to the approval of the championship's chairman and the president. Should the champion lose his title in an optional defense against an opponent rather than the leading available contender, the new champion shall be required to make his mandatory title defense against the leading available contender as designated by the championship's chairman within a period of 9 months after the acquisition. Within the 9-month defense period set forth above, and with the prior approval of the championship's chairman, the new champion may engage in an optional defense of his title against a ranked opponent in the top 15 contenders in the weight class as rated by the IBF. However, should the title change hands as a result of such an optional contest, the newly crowned champion inherits the mandatory obligation of the prior champion and must defend the title within the time remaining for the champion from who he won the title. Okay. So what I get from this is a new champion has to defend his IBF heavyweight title within 12 months of acquiring the title. So with Usyk, he beat Anthony Joshua last September. So you would imagine that he's got until this September coming, 2022, to fight his mandatory. So what David Higgins is saying there about if Joseph Parker was to beat Hrgović, he'd have to wait a year from that point to get his shot. That doesn't appear to be true because the IBF, again, usually expedite their mandatories a lot more quickly than the other sanctioning bodies. Now, the other thing it said there is if a champion loses to somebody other than the top-ranked contender, the mandatory for the IBF, then instead the new champion will only have 9 months to defend his title. Let me just double-check here. Is that what I got from here? Should a champion lose his title? Okay, as designated within a 9-month period after the acquisition. Optional contest, new inherits the manager obligation. Okay, so it also says here, I mean, I'm not sure which sub clause to go by here, but it says, however, should the title change hands as a result of an optional contest? Well, Anthony Joshua against Usyk wasn't an optional contest. It was a mandatory for the WBO, but it wasn't a mandatory for the IBF. So how did the IBF look at situations like that, where a guy has multiple belts, he's not defending his IBF, but he is defending his whatever, WBO, WBA. Do they count that as a voluntary defense? I don't know which rules would apply, but either way, it would appear as though Usyk has to face his IBF mandatory either within 12 months of the Anthony Joshua fight or within 9 months. Either way, it's not going to be Joseph Parker waiting 12 months from the point if he was able to beat Hrgović. From that point, he wouldn't be waiting 12 months from then, according to the IBF rules. Anyway, let me know what you guys think in the comments below about this whole tragic comedy. That's the only way to describe it at the moment, of trying to get Hrgović in with anybody decent for an IBF eliminator. Let me know.